Hello again, this is KWCA President and Seaman High School Head Coach Patrick Kelly with another edition of the KWCA Podcast. Jim Moussounis' dedication to journalism profession extends back to 1981 when he was hired at the Hutchinson News. In 2005, he moved on to managing and writing for smaller papers for Star Communications out of Larned. In 2006, Moussounis began a two-year stint with the McPherson Sentinel where he managed, designed, and wrote daily news stories. Star Communications, based in Lyons, was Jim's next stop. There, he managed and wrote for the Lyons News and Hoisington Dispatch. Moussounis has been at the Great Bend Tribune since 2011, where he works as the sports editor for the paper that serves a multi-county area. Jim has collected several awards over the years, including the Oscar Stauffer Sports Writer of the Year and Feature Writing Awards. Jim is a member of the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame Committee and the Kansas Press Association. He has been a voter for the Heisman Trophy for the past 30 years. Jim is being honored by the KWCA this year as 2017 Media of the Year Award winner. It is an honor to have him on the line today. Mr. Moussounis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Glad to be along.
You graduated from college with a communication and journalism degree and have had a full career in the industry. What got you interested in journalism as an area of study during your college days and eventually as a career, and what interests you most about specializing in covering sports?
I think it was a conversation that my father had with us boys, and he just always emphasized that you should try and work in a field that you enjoy. My first thought was I'd become a meteorologist, and I think it was after I took my second calculus and physics class that I determined I should probably go to a different option, because it was certainly a challenging regimen. So I figured out that I always enjoyed the competition of sports that we had grown up with, so that was the direction I decided to head in college. I went to a junior college in Rockford, Illinois, and just started to work on the newspaper there, and that's how I got started. What's interesting about that is all of a sudden there's Olympic Training Center close to Rockford, Illinois, and there's Olympic caliber skaters who are skating and attending school at Rock Valley College. So one of my first stories I wrote was a skater called Terry Kubica, and I had no idea who he was. I knew nothing about skating, but I was assigned that story, and it ended up being a pretty interesting story on a skater from who was training in the local area.
As I mentioned in the intro, you have had a few stops along the way to your current position. What have been some of your favorite aspects of your career, and what parts are most challenging?
Generally speaking, the most challenging is constant time constraints, depending upon what time the event. It's always nice when events are during the day, like baseball, softball, golf are during the day, but oftentimes football, volleyball, basketball are evening events, and you're always striving to meet a deadline or get your work done in an efficient manner. And, of course, the state competition when you're going to basketball is similar, because lots of times they're proceeding it during the night, and you have constant deadline requirements. The favorite part is the fact that you get to meet a lot of interesting coaches, players, and athletes, and go to different venues around the state and around the Midwest and such. You sometimes read about somebody or know about somebody, but then when you meet them or you see them perform their craft, you're always fascinated by, well, I saw, for instance, Danny Manning's last high school basketball game at Lawrence High School. They lost the first round of the state tournament, and I'm thinking, man, this Danny Manning, he's one of the best high school players I ever saw, even though I only saw him for one game, and of course his career speaks for itself. So that's the fun part of it, when you see somebody before some people recognize. I was probably one of the first writers who ever saw Jackie Stiles play basketball. She was playing basketball her sophomore year, and I didn't realize she was left-handed, so I asked the coach, I said, well, that left-hander, she's really good. And the coach said, no, she's right-handed. Her right wrist is broken. She's playing left-handed. She averaged 18 points a game shooting off-handed because her right wrist was bandaged and she could only shoot left-handed. It was then that I said, this girl's pretty special. 3,600-odd points later and a Final Four appearance for Southwest Missouri, everybody realized she was indeed a special player. So it's always fun to get in on the ground floor of players before anybody knows who they are, and then they end up being exactly what you might have imagined they could be. it's always fun to see that.
What schools are in the geographic area that you cover for the Great Bend Tribune? Your nomination came from Coach Schmidt of Hoisington, and Coach Brockelman of Great Bend also speaks highly of you. That might be an interesting situation for some writers to spread their loyalties among competing schools.
Yeah, oftentimes those schools don't necessarily meet, although the schools that we would cover from the Great Bend Tribune's perspective are Great Bend, Hoisington, Larned, and Stafford. And oftentimes Larned and Hoisington will be in the same regional and state meet, but Great Bend will head a different direction simply because they're a 5A school. It's pretty easy. You're always rooting for everybody. It's sort of like, and somebody asks you who your favorite brother or sister or relative is, you never answer that question. You say, well, I like them all. So you really treat them all equally, and you really root for everybody, because in the sport of wrestling, it's such a survivor mentality that just competing itself is a victory, to be honest.
So at the beginning of each sports season, do you sit down with a calendar and look at all those various schools and kind of try to coordinate where you're going to be when?
Yeah, that's pretty much what you have to do. You just have to map it out. And, of course, for indoor activities, you don't have to worry so much about the weather. The springtime is always the worst, simply because the weather is just day-to-day and sometimes hour-to-hour. But during the fall season and the winter season, although you will get an occasional winter storm during the wintertime that can create some issues, but that's pretty much what you have to do, is just sort of circle what events that look interesting or a big tournament on the weekend that some area teams are at, and then just go from there. Of course, there's always, once you get to the end of the season, it's much easier because you have designated times and dates for regionals and state tournaments. So it's a little bit easier at the end of the season.
This might be a loaded question here, but how has the newspaper industry changed during your career?
Oh, it's changed immensely from when I started. You used to start off virtually writing everything on a notebook and paper and pen, and absolutely everything you wrote down, because back then no one perhaps even thought of tape recorders. They existed, but they were probably on cassette tapes, and you probably had to bring a big old cassette tape in for that purpose. And then it's sort of evolved to where you would bring a small tape recorder in, and now you can use that function on your phone, and it makes it a lot easier because you don't have to have nearly as much equipment. The recording part of it, as far as recording stats, is really not changed, because you still have to record your own stats. There's an occasional place where they may conduct stats or have stat programs that are printed out for you, but it goes about half and half. Half of them do that and half of them don't. So you pretty much have to keep your own statistics for whatever game you're watching. As far as sending it in, you go back to the time where you would call the information in and dictate some information to another person who would take that information down at the office. Then it got down to where you would just drive back to the office and write it yourself. And now it's got to the point where you have the technology to compose it on a computer or on your phone and then send it in immediately. So the issue nowadays is you're constantly wondering where your wireless connection is, or whether the facility you're at has a wireless connection that you can get to, because that makes everything really easy then, because you can send all your photos and all your stories and all your information really within minutes after that game's over, which makes things a lot easier for everybody involved, because then the people processing the information back at the office have the information in hand quicker, and your job done much quicker too. So the technology involved is really changed quite a bit, because now you can do video, you can do photos, you can do a little interview after the game and record it. So it's really enhanced the ability to tell a story, which hasn't changed. You just can tell it in more various ways. You can tell it in print, you can tell it on video, you can have a little recording which is available for viewing too. So I think it's really enhanced things. You're really doing essentially the same thing. You're just presenting it in different ways as far as accessibility to somebody who might want to either view it or hear it or see it or read it. So you're just doing it various ways.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it, in really a positive way. I mean, you're not one that's just, beating the drum of the printed newspaper, and that's the route. It sounds like these multiple ways of getting the story out there are something you embrace.
Yeah, Twitter is one of them that you can pretty much get scores out there, and I've been surprised to some degree that, oh, I saw the score on Twitter. I said, I always wonder whether anybody sees those scores or views them or gets any information out of them, but occasionally there was week one where there was a football score missing, and somebody asked me a question, and I happened to know that answer, so that was one score he was missing in the whole state of Kansas. It's a gentleman called Tim Hostetter who works out of Salina. He does a prep power index, so he's missing one of his scores for his power rankings, so I was able to provide it for him.
So what is your sporting background? What sports did you participate in growing up?
You know, one of my first sports memories was our mom, and I was a twin brother, so my brother and I were identical twins. She gets us out of the car and tells us it's okay to leave the car and start football practice. And I don't know whether he was crying or I was crying. It was probably me, because he was tougher than me. But anyway, we're crying as we're out the door, and we just loved it. Of course, we were tiny, because, you know, I don't remember. I think it was sixth or seventh grade. But I weighed about 100 pounds in eighth grade, so I don't know what I was in seventh grade. But it was one of the best decisions of our life, because it's that moment where the mom says, okay, I'm pushing you out the door, you're on your own. And that's really essentially what you do when you tell virtually every wrestler, okay, you're out in the mat, you're on your own, folks. And that's the essence of the sport. That's what makes it such an interesting, pure sport, is it's person-on-person, one-on-one, and there's nobody helping you. Original sport we played was, well, we played everything. We played softball, then baseball, and golf ended up being our favorite sport because we ended up playing in high school and junior college, and then also played some high school football and high school basketball, and then always did everything. Like, we'd play tennis with some friends on the weekend and try to kick field goals barefooted because there was some Michigan State kicker who kicked barefooted on a Saturday afternoon, so we thought, oh, that sounds like a cool idea. Let's go out and kick barefoot. And of course, it was 35 degrees, and that idea didn't last too long, but it was still fun. Yeah. But originally, we, you know, really tried everything, and really that's what our parents encouraged us, is just try everything. You might find something you like, and it ended up that golf ended up being our favorite thing, because we both played junior college golf, and then he played golf at Loyola, Illinois, so he played Division I golf also, and I was fortunate enough to play in the city finals of Hutchinson, Kansas five times, and I was runner-up five times, but also went out to Garden City and was a member of the winning team twice in the Southwest Pro-Am, which is quite an accomplishment because there's like 80 teams vying for the spot of first place in that tournament during the summer, and it's quite a fun tournament because you get to play with the pro for 2 days, and it's just a fun experience to realize all those guys who are trying to make a hard living playing golf, and if they don't do well, they don't make any money that week. So it's really a hard life, but an interesting one for those guys, and you got sort of a sliver of what their life was like, even if it was for a couple of days.
Wow. And I imagine playing at that level helps you appreciate and helps you in your craft with just across the board with different sports you cover.
Oh, no question. When you get that, and I think maybe golf is about the only thing we've done as far as trying to do that on a level where you're just right next to somebody, because it's not like I've gone onto a tennis court and done something like that or shot baskets with somebody. Although I've been in the gym when, you know, players like that are shooting the basketball, but it's not like you're going to play a game of horse with somebody like that. But yeah, golf is really an interesting game in that they can play their game and you can play their game, and it's really not an equal playing field because their skill is exceptional, and you're just hoping to hit the fairway and hit the green and make a putt every once in a while. But it's still a lot of fun because they can certainly provide some perspective about how you should approach a hole, or just how the wind's blowing, or how you need to approach a shot, and then it gives you thought for when you face that situation next time. And so really, those golfers who are pros, they're good teachers too, because they've been where you are, where you're not nearly as good as them, but they were there at one point, so they it's always nice to have that helpful information from somebody like that.
So it has always impressed me that sports writers and TV personalities can cover a diverse number of sports. I'm so single-minded when it comes to the knowledge of sports that when it gets outside of wrestling, I have a very surface-level knowledge. How have you become familiar with the nuances of the various sports that you cover?
I think that was really pretty easy because we always just watched whatever was on TV, and then we'd watch a tennis match, and we'd go out and play tennis, and then we'd watch a golf match and go out and hit golf balls in the backyard or throw the football. So whatever we watched, we said, oh, let's go out and try that. And so that was just sort of came natural. But when you're dealing with sports, and wrestling certainly one of those, that if you don't participate or you're not a mom or dad, it's really a sport you don't have an appreciation of. And I sort of think that that's tricky because, boy, the knowledge that those folks have is way more than the average person. And it's really and soccer's like that too. It's a sport that if you don't play it or don't know enough about it, there's stuff going on. Like, why are they moving the ball this way instead of that way? And then I always like to watch a game like that, like wrestling or soccer, with somebody who actually knows something, and then they'll tell me what's going on. It's really helpful because they have an eye for what this person, this wrestler is trying to do or what his strategy is. And you don't quite appreciate that because you just don't know enough about the strategy of the sport. So that's been very helpful over the years, is somebody that I know who knows what's going on, I'll have them just sit by me and tell me what's going on, and then I can say, oh, I see what you're talking about now. So that's been very helpful over the years. I've done that at soccer too, where somebody who really knows the game can just say, you know, what are they doing now? Where's the ball going to go? And he'll tell me, and he's exactly right. And I can tell you that in football or basketball, but in soccer, it's tricky. And then again, in wrestling, it's such a niche sport that if you know it, their knowledge is immense. And the writer's knowledge is usually not nearly quite that much.
So what's your favorite sport to cover?
I would say definitely it's golf, because it's a sport that I've played at the highest level and have been to several U.S. Opens, been to Tulsa, Oklahoma, North Carolina for some U.S. Opens, and there was a U.S. Open at Prairie Dunes, two of them that I covered. So that's the sport that I'm most comfortable with and most knowledgeable about. So that's really the easiest, simply because when they hit a particular shot or know play a certain way, I know exactly what they've done. I don't really have to ask them about the strategy. But everything else is fun because, you know, every sport is different, and that's what makes things so interesting, is every sport has its own strategy and its own language and its own way of going about business. And always the $64 question is, I wonder how they did that, or I wonder how that came about, or how that play got called, or how that move got made. And that's always the interesting part of having a conversation with the coach or player after an event.
So what are the unique challenges of covering wrestling?
I would say, first and foremost, you always want to know which are the top matches of the day or the top wrestlers of that particular day's match. It may be a dual tournament. It may be a weekend tournament. Of course, regional and state pretty much tells its own story because you advance as you go into each round. So that one is a little bit easier because you sort of know how it's going. But during a weekend tournament or a dual tournament, you're trying to focus on, okay, what's the best matchup of the night? Or are there two state-ranked wrestlers? Or is there a kid who's come back from an injury and he's coming back? Because occasionally, and Coach Dan Schmidt of Hoisington is really good about this, and so is Nathan Brockman, Great Bend, they will drop or move up a wrestler to get themselves a good match. And that's the mark of excellent coaching, because if you've got a state-ranked wrestler, you want that competition, and you may only get it several times a year. So when you face the tough opponents during a dual match or in a tournament, you may move a wrestler up or down a weight. And I've always found that fascinating because it's like, how did that guy get to that weight and how did that happen? And the coach will explain, well, we wanted to be getting some good matches. So that's an excellent tactic because sometimes those top tier wrestlers, that's what they look forward to, because they know at the end of the year and the last match of the year, that's the kind of competition they're going to have to face. So that's always fun to see too. the tricky part is there's always that language or that move, and you're always constantly saying, well, what was that move, or how'd you do that? Or, and there's always some kind of a fancy name for their wrestling moves, and it's always fun to hear that, because you're saying, well, I haven't heard of that one, or I have heard of that one. And but they have, every sport, especially wrestling, has its own particular language about a single leg takedown or this particular move. It's just a lot of fun to hear that, and then you're always trying to remember it for the next time, which is always tricky.
Yeah, see, sometimes the same move is named something different, no matter compared to what region you're in, even within the state sometimes.
Oh, that makes it fun, yeah.
So, do you have any suggestions to coaches to help facilitate more coverage or better coverage for wrestling?
Well, I think the best thing they can do is always make your contact information available. The coaches in our area are really good about sending out results. They have a team photo where they might have had some success, or they'll line up their medal winners and send us a photo. It's really a lot easier in a lot of ways, because you used to have a camera and process film or send it a certain way. Now you can, with a phone, you can snap a photo and you can send it to my phone number. It's really quite handy. And in fact, they do that with results now too. They'll just snap a photo of the results page, team scores, and for instance, if you've got 14 weights, hey, that's fine. Send me 15 pictures and 15 results. It's real easy to do that, because you can do it immediately and you're done with it. You don't have to worry about faxing the information and a lot of schools have programs and they can just send it with one push of a button on a computer. But, you know, in lieu of that, if you don't, you can virtually do everything with your phone. And a lot of them are doing that now. I'm getting a lot of results in regards to tennis, where they just snap a photo of the girls and snap a photo of the results, and it takes them probably 30 seconds to do that. It's really pretty handy for them, because it doesn't cause any undue delay or an immense amount of time to do that. It's really just, you know, shooting a photo and sending it along the way. It's always nice to know when information is available. Sometimes matches or an event is available on the internet or on video, and it's always nice to know that Hayes has televised the finals for 3A state wrestling for a number of years, and it's always nice to have that available. Or just, it's always nice to forward that information to the public, because those are the people, of course, the diehard wrestling fans, they're there, but there's always some grandparents or some relatives who can't be there because they're a long ways away. It's always nice to get that information out there. If there is some there's a lot of ways to do it now. There's the Cube that does things, YouTube, some people do YouTube, and then there's the National Federation that also has some games and video online. And so really, just getting the word out is really the most important thing, irregardless of whether it's just results or information that your team has done well, or, you know, and really most of the coaches are good. They're going to send you stuff because they may only have one or two really good ones, but they still want to promote their program, and that's a great way to do it, because, again, there's a winner and loser in every match, and the wrestling coaches and wrestlers in particular, they know that first and foremost. And so when you succeed, you've definitely earned that first place or whatever medal you might earn that day.
What about the facility? Do you have any suggestions for how schools could accommodate the media when hosting an event? You know, what are your needs and expectations that would make life easier for you when you come into an event?
Well, I know they always have a scoring table, but oftentimes, as long as you provide another table, which is maybe separate from the scoring table, it could just be on the side or in a corner, it's always nice to set up your equipment or just have a space where you're off on the side. And I would say in most venues that probably isn't the case. When you go to the state events, that generally is the case, as they do make amends for that. But sometimes at the regional or a smaller size tournament, they don't necessarily think of that. But all it takes is just setting up a table where you might have some access to electricity, where you can just drop your camera bag and drop your equipment, and then and know it's in a safe place. Otherwise, you're tucking it into the bleachers, and, you know, who knows what could happen to it at that point. And then, of course, just knowing or passing information along what your internet access is very valuable, because that's generally the first question I ask, is that, do you guys have access to the internet, and or what's my next best bet if you don't? And I would say most places these days have that kind of access. You might have to access a code that the school provides, but generally speaking, that usually isn't an issue. So I would say the only thing they need to do is have a little space provided, and then of course just advise you what their access is as far as results. Sometimes the results are sent to you immediately, sometimes they're available and they can print it out, and so it varies quite a bit. But usually when you go to an event and you tell somebody you're there, the wrestling coaches, the athletic directors generally have to, the wrestling coaches have enough on their table. Usually it's somebody who's running the tournament or an athletic director who takes care of that. But I've found that the wrestling coaches are more than happy to provide any information or any help whatsoever, because it's just part of promoting their sport. And I think it's just something that's a tradition that they're not jumping up and down promoting it outwardly, but if you're there, they're more than happy to help you out and answer questions, and they're very patient as far as explaining what a particular move or what something's called. That's always fun to hear that, because they understand that, you know, this person knows not nearly as much as I do, so I sort of need to be patient and explain things to them, because otherwise they may get something named wrong or give credit where no credit's due or something.
Yeah, those great suggestions, though. Simple suggestions that I think we can all do a better job of, so thank you. Wrestling has exploded at the college level in Kansas in recent years, with several programs being added. One of those programs is Barton County. How does that impact your job of covering the sports landscape in your area?
Well, just like in the case of possible girls wrestling getting on the horizon, it's nice that there's some expansion of sports programs, and even men's wrestling has expanded to more junior colleges. It's nice that Barton County's expanded their program. One of their coaches, Colby Crank, is from Hutchinson, but he wrestled at Bethany and then ended up being a national champion at Baker University. Their head coach, Mike Bombas, was at Manhattan and Garden City Wrestling, and he qualified twice for the NJCAA National Tournament. And Coach Bombas has recruited heavily in Kansas and Missouri and Oklahoma. He's got 16 Kansans on his roster. He's got four wrestlers from Great Bend: Cade Sander, Christian Rivas, Kelton Suki, and Cade's brother, Kelton Sander. So it's nice to know that there's some homegrown options for those high school wrestlers, because it's something that is very difficult. It's a challenge when you're in college to compete in a sport, but you can certainly get your education paid for. And the first thing the wrestlers know and understand is it's hard work. So that's really almost inherent with the sport itself. So those wrestlers that tend to go on to college, they're already good students, and they understand that hard work is part of the process.
Yeah, well, Mike sure has done a great job with that program, and I'm sure there's you know, good things ahead with Colby being involved.
Yeah, they certainly are. They've already qualified 10 wrestlers for the first 2 years of their program for the national tournament. So they've already done some amazing things, and it's given Kansas wrestlers another option to further their career and give them another option after 2 years, because then they're more recruitable, because they've also invested 2 years of training and conditioning to their sport. So it's certainly a great option, and we keep close tabs on the Barton County program, because they've been very successful.
You mentioned girls wrestling, and that's one of the biggest topics in wrestling, not only in Kansas, but across the United States. Doug Kretzer from McPherson, Joe Connect from Paola, and others that have the end goal of getting girls wrestling sanctioned by CASHA. From your perspective, what are the stories within this development, and what could it mean for the landscape of covering high school sports?
I don't know that it would change anything with high school sports, but it's really a rare opportunity, and the girls who are involved with wrestling on the boys' programs right now, they understand that they're on the ground floor, and they are paving the way for future friends and neighbors and sisters what an opportunity to be in on the ground floor of a sport that starts. There's six states that have girls high school wrestling, and it's something that they presented to the state just in September. They had a sanctioning team that included Chad Parks from Shawnee Heights and Doug Kretzer, of course, from McPherson. They presented before the board to give them an idea of how many girls were participating, which was 112 last year on boys' team, and how that movement could increase if they simply approved it as a sanctioned sport. The information that Doug Kretzer presented was, at a minimum, you would expect well in excess of 250 girl wrestlers to compete once that's sanctioned as a girl sport, because 112 girls who are wrestling against boys, I want them on my team, because those girls, there's so many things that they fight and so many stereotypes. To have those 112 girls go on a mat with a boy every weekend is quite a challenge. So they're paving the way for everybody, and Doug is firmly convinced that if and when the state does get to that point, and it may be a while yet, there's so many valuable lessons that the boys have learned from wrestling for many, many years, and those lessons aren't any different for the girls. I guarantee you, if you've got one sport or one type of athlete that you might want to be on your side, you want a wrestler on your side, because it's all about hard work, it's all about sacrifice, and it's a simple equation. It's win or lose in the match, and it's about change and adapting in a season, in a year, and in a match. You have to adapt, and that's really what makes that sport so interesting, is it's constant. You're always trying to get better, and even in a match, you're trying to turn the tide if you're losing by 1 point. And those lessons are exactly the same. What Doug explained was that they had 14 girls practicing with the boys this past year, which is an incredible number. But he said what happens is the presence of those girls, it increases the level. It's like when the boys see those girls working hard and going out for the sport because they love it, it's like, yeah, that's why we started. That's why we started wrestling. We like the sport. It already enhances your program, because they're not that those wrestlers, they always have respect for their opponent and their teammates, but it's just raised the level, because it's like, okay, we got to get better, because these people are coming in and they're showing us, hey, they're ground floor. They're working hard. They're doing what they can. So it immediately increases the level of your program and just the focus you have each day. So Doug has been very happy with what he's seen. It's all good. I mean, I think that each one of those dads who has a daughter, first of all, they're proud of every son they've had. They are really proud of those daughters, because what they've told them that life is tough, life is a challenge, but on the wrestling mat, you got to be self-reliant, because there's nobody out there helping you. But as a wrestler, I've always seen that for some strange reason, those wrestlers help each other. They show each other moves. I've never quite understood that, but apparently there's some secrets, but they're always sharing them back and forth. So wrestling is a funny, interesting game, because they're always trading moves and asking how you did this or how you did that, or how you do things. And so I know that those girls who have participated already have learned immense things already, just even in their short careers here.
That's right. It sounds like it's just a matter of time at this point.
Yeah, there's no question that it's something that will take some time, but they certainly are heading in the right direction. And they've got the ear of the state association directors, that at least they've presented it. They've been provided a forum, and there's some knowledge now, because it's just one of those things, not knowing or seeing a girl wrestle in a boys varsity meet or even against a boy, you wouldn't even know that opportunity exists. But there's multiple national caliber wrestlers who are girls in the state of Kansas. The Marissa Patterson won a national championship this last summer. Brianna Douglas from Paola was second in nationals, and Maya Kretzer and Nicole Moore, Maya's from McPherson and Nicole Moore is from Nickerson, they're nationally ranked and nationally placed wrestlers this past summer. So Kansas has several national caliber type wrestlers in the state right now who are girls.
What wrestling events do you plan to cover during the upcoming season?
Of course, you're always, anytime you have a home meet, which is actually pretty rare, because typically those teams only get maybe one or two home meets a year. And then, of course, you always focus in on regionals and state competition, and that's really sort of the where you focus your energies on. But, you know, you'll do weekly updates and see how the team is doing and record the records, but really you sort of keep track of the regional and state nights and make sure they're circled, and then the decision you have is, are you heading to Hayes or are you heading to Wichita? That's always the dilemma, and with Poisington having such a good program, it makes it a little bit harder choice.
Right, we've been visiting with Jim Moussounis, the KWCA 2017 Media of the Year Award winner. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us today, Jim. On behalf of the board and its members, congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
We also want to recognize the other Media of the Year honorees, John Zeitmeyer of the Dodge City Daily Globe and Taylor Eldridge of the Wichita Eagle. Both earned the honor as well. Congratulations to all three of our honorees. This has been KWCA President Patrick Kelly reminding you to get your registration in to the 2017 KWCA Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic slated for October 7th in Salina. And don't forget about the Leadership Academy on Friday the 6th and the Wrestling Summit Saturday night after the banquet. Until next time, thanks for listening.